Let us pray for the Lord's reading, blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You expectant now that You will feed our souls and refresh us with the good news of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. We'll begin reading at verse 1 of chapter 27 and continue reading through chapter 28, verse 5. A long section, but it is all one section, so we're going to take it all in a bit. Plus, we've been taking quite a long time to get through Genesis, so I figured we better hurry it up a little bit. But Genesis 27 at verse 1. Hear now the word of our God. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, My son. And he answered him, Here I am. Then he said, Behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me and make me savory food such as I love and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob her son, saying, Indeed I heard your father speak to Esau your brother, saying, Bring me game and make savory food for me that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Look, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. But his mother said to him, Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me. And he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. Then she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then he gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat of my game that your soul may bless me. Now Isaac said to his son, How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord your God brought it to me. Isaac said to Jacob, Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, Are you really my son Esau? He said, I am. He said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you. So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, Come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing, and blessed him, and said, Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. Now it happened, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father, and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" So he said, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed." And Esau heard the words of his father. He cried with an exceeding great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?" And Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me, me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become reckless that you shall break his yoke from your neck." So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be reaped also of you both in one day?" And Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth like those who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?" Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham." So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram, to Laban, the son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we come to the second passage in Genesis where we see the deceitfulness of Jacob. We are also going to see the sin of other characters in the story. In fact, every person in the family is sinful in this story. Rebekah, Isaac, and Esau. And how all of their sin puts the whole family in this huge downward spiral of sin to the point where the family is broken. But we also see in this story how God in His providence works even through all of this sin to bring about His good purposes and blesses both of the brothers, both Jacob and Esau, but clearly shows that the blessing of Abraham is given to Jacob, that he will be the one that will continue on the line of promise, and it is through him that the Messiah would come. This is, I grant you, a large section of Scripture, and I understand that. It's a lot to bite off at once, and so because of that, we are not going to be able to get into every detail, and I'm going to go sort of through the passage in terms of categories instead of chronologically. And so what I want us to look at, first of all, is to look at all of the sin that is here in this passage. First of all, you see the four people in this family, they all get mixed up in sin. It's like the wash machine when you put it, I don't know if you got like a turbo setting or a super spin cycle or something, right? But where that thing's just going around like crazy. Well, that's sort of how this scenario is going. It gets started with Isaac, but boy, once she gets a rolling, the whole thing is going like mad in a sinful cycle. First of all, as I said, Isaac is the one who starts this sinful cycle. And maybe you're wondering, well, what did Isaac do wrong? What did he do wrong in all this? Well, remember what the Lord had said in chapter 25, verse 23, to Rebekah. We read there, two nations are in your womb, two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. The Lord had told Rebekah that Jacob would be the one who was really blessed of the Lord, not Esau. Jacob was the chosen one, not Esau. Isaac, here in chapter 27, knows this, and yet wants to bless Esau anyway. And notice the blessing that Isaac gives, that he thinks he's giving to Esau, but is really given to Jacob. Notice in verse 29 what Jacob says. Let peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Notice this. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Isaac intends the exact opposite of what God had said. He wanted Jacob to serve Esau, even though the Lord had said that Esau would serve Jacob. Isaac disregards the word of God and thinks that he knows better than the Lord, and chooses Esau rather than Jacob to be the one who is blessed. What a blatant sin. Can you imagine hearing the word of the Lord, knowing what his purposes are, and yet choosing to do the exact opposite? Can you imagine the audacity to do that? But before we're too hard on Isaac, how many times have we done the same thing? How many times have we trusted or acted like we trusted in our own good works rather than in the grace of God alone for salvation? How many times have we counted ourselves more worthy of God's grace than others, even though that's the exact opposite of the message of the gospel, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? How many times have we looked down on the weak people of the world, the drug addicts, the prostitutes, etc.? when God said he would shame the wise by choosing the weak of this world and save them and work through them. As Reformed people, we profess the reading and preaching of the Word of God is the greatest and primary means of grace by which God gives us and grants to us grace, life refreshing, soul enlivening grace. And yet how often do we come to church thirsting for Christ Himself? We as Christians profess in this life that we are called to forsake everything in this world in order to follow Christ. Leave all and follow Him in order that we may have eternal life. Which is exactly what Jesus has told us to do. And yet, how often do we live as though it is this temporary life and the things of this world that really matter? How often do we completely forget the goal and live in such a way that we do the exact opposite of what Jesus has commanded us to do? You see, brothers and sisters, this moment, as we look at Isaac, this is our David moment. What I mean by that is, remember, after David had sinned by committing adultery with Bathsheba and murdering Uriah, and David is there then confronted by Nathan the prophet. And Nathan tells that story of how there was once a rich man and a poor man, and the poor man only had one sheep. And the rich man stole that one sheep and killed it in order to serve his guests. And David said, what? May judgment be made on that man, essentially. What an atrocity. And Nathan said, you are the man. This is our David moment, in which the finger is pointed at us and we are reminded, I am the man. I am the woman. I have done this too. I am guilty before God. In this story of Isaac and seeing his sin, God is telling us, you are the man to which we must repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We must recognize our sin of not following the Lord and obeying His commandments, and seek the forgiveness that can only be found in Jesus, and ask Him to renew a right spirit within us, that we may follow Him with greater faithfulness. The second person to sin in this story is Rebekah. Rebekah knew the promise of God to Jacob, but instead of confronting Isaac with what he was about to do, she schemes behind his back in order to get her favorite son, Jacob, the blessing. There's no openness here. There's no communication between husband and wife. It is Rebekah who comes up with this plan to deceive Isaac. As we look at this scenario, is there anything in it in which you say, well, there's a model marriage. That's how it's supposed to work. That's how it's supposed to be done. Not even close. Biblical love is absent in this whole scenario, isn't it? What more can you even say about this level of scheming and deception that is so far from biblical love and how marriage is supposed to work? There is clear sin here. Even if her motivation was good, it's quite likely that Rebecca is not only operating with the motivation that she likes Jacob more, but also that she knew the word of the Lord and was scheming some way to make the word of the Lord come true, come to fruition. I'm going to help God out here. But even if that was her sole motivation, it's still sinful. As C.S. Lewis famously wrote, "The road to hell is paved with good intentions." Which is a reminder to us that we cannot defend any of our sin because, well, I didn't mean for that to happen. That's not what I meant. That wasn't my intention. Just because you had a good motivation for something doesn't justify your sin along the way. Now we come to Jacob's sin. Jacob sure is a good schemer, like his mother, and a good liar too. Well, maybe not so good, because the whole time he's trying to go through this, Isaac sort of suspects that this is an Esau. But he does finally give in after he smells the clothes of Esau. But he goes along, Jacob goes along with his mother's plan and executes it pretty well. Lies straight to his father's face. Isaac's eyesight is bad, and so Jacob, with his mother's help, has goat's hair on his hands and his neck and arms. And because he smells of a hunter, because he's wearing Esau's clothes, and Rebekah cooks some good meat, that's one of the takeaways from this Bible passage, is that you can eat good meat, and Isaac did, so that's a good model for us too. I'm giving you a joke there, but you do see here that this is all part of the plan to trick Isaac. Jacob plays his part of the plan perfectly, even lying about the Lord's provision. Jacob and Rebekah had killed some kids of goats from the flock, but when Isaac asks how Jacob was able to get a kill so quickly, Jacob says in verse 20, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Jacob came up with that all by himself. His mother coached him a little, but that was all Jacob. And while we might look at this and think that this is an atrocious lie, we have to remember that every lie that we tell is an attack and an affront on God Himself. For Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Any falsehood, every lie we tell is a direct affront and attack on God Himself. Not only this, but we have to see how much hatred Jacob has for his brother Esau, wanting to destroy him and rob him of everything that would normally and rightfully be his. That's the depths to which Jacob was willing to go to supplant his own brother. To rob him of everything. He already had the birthright. Now he's going after the blessing. The last person to sin in this scenario is Esau. Now we can maybe have some compassion for Esau here, which might sound strange, but we really can. He's been put in quite a terrible situation here. But even still, that does not excuse his sin, for it is his sin that is the breaking point of the family. And I want us to see how that happens. There is no forgiveness or love for his brother in his heart. Yes, he has been wronged by his mother and his brother, but even when someone wrongs us, what are we supposed to do? Hate them? Seek revenge? No. We are to forgive and love. I want us to see something very important here. This is really important for us to see. All the other sins that are committed here are truly terrible. They are horrible. They will have lasting consequences. But the family can still be reconciled. The wounds can be healed. What makes that impossible? What makes reconciliation impossible for this family? What causes the family to break apart for good? Esau is unwilling to forgive his brother and instead is filled with hate and murderous thoughts, planning to kill Jacob as soon as Isaac dies. As the Apostle James says, love covers a multitude of sins. But we could say the opposite. Hatred hangs on to all of them. All the other sins are heinous. They are destructive. They have lasting consequences. But it's Esau's sin that is the final death nail for the family. And so as we look at all of this, what do we see? We see a family that in all of their sin is in this downward spiral. But there is someone else in this story who is acting behind the scenes. That is, of course, the Lord. What is he doing? He is working through all of this to bring about his good purposes for all of his people. What looks like an irredeemable situation, the Lord is able to use for the good of all of his people throughout all history. Because Jacob receives the blessing. And Jacob's life is spared as he goes to live with his uncle Laban. As we look at this story here in Genesis, this speaks so powerfully to us, even in our current situation. As you look at the young people in this country, the college students and such. No offense to those who are here that are college students or those who do go to college and attend our church. But you can see the movements that are happening in this country that are so unchristian are largely starting on college campuses. You can look at what's being taught by college professors, especially in the soft sciences. You can look at politicians. You can look at social justice warriors. and the like. And what are they all trying to do? They're trying to fix all of mankind's problems. This story here is an illustration that if we try to fix the problem in our own wisdom and in our own might and our own strength, what's going to happen? We're only going to make it worse. We're only going to bring more destruction, more hatred, more death. Isaac didn't like God's plan, so he thought he would try to do what he thought would be the right thing to do, and cast his whole family in the vortex of sin. Rebekah tries to correct her husband's sin by deception and only throws the family into an even stronger spin cycle. Jacob goes along with his mother's plan and lies to Isaac, deceiving him and being incredibly unloving to his brother, putting the family in a heated battle and at a breaking point, which then leads to Esau hating his brother and not willing to forgive him, which leads to the final break in the family. All of these people acting out of their own self-interest and what they thought would be the right thing to do. In our day and age, this is happening all the time. I don't have the time now to excavate all of this, but all the answers that are being proposed today to improve race relations, to solve police brutality, to combat mental illness, the spread of STDs, substance abuse, gun control, gun violence, and all that. None of the solutions that are coming from the world are going to work, because the only way out of the deep, dark vortex of sin is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only He can heal His people and produce love in people who are full of hatred in and of themselves. The last thing I want to take up this morning is the blessings that Isaac gives to Jacob and Esau. And I won't be able to get to the last blessing, actually. We're going to run out of time for that. But I want to get to the blessing he gives to Esau, and then the first blessing that Isaac gives to Jacob. Now first we take up Esau. In verses 39 and 40 we read, "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother, and it shall come to pass, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck." In essence, the blessing of the Lord from Isaac to Esau is this: you will be prosperous, but you will have to fight your entire life, and your children and all of your descendants will live and die by the sword. But they will be a lesser people to Jacob and his descendants, and in fact be under the yoke of Jacob and his descendants, except at certain times when Esau would become restless and be able to shake that yoke off. And we see that play out in redemptive history. That Edom, the descendants of Esau, were under tribute or under complete domination of Israel for long periods of time. But there were times where they were able to shake off the yoke. Now, finally I want to come to the blessing that's given to Jacob. In verses 27 through 29 we read, Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. This is a blessing that's given to Jacob and to all of his descendants. And we understand that just as those who are the true descendants of Abraham are those who are descendants of faith, so it is the same with Jacob. We are the descendants of Jacob. We receive this blessing too. But what I want us to see most of all is that this is a blessing that is given to one specific descendant of Jacob, and that he fulfills perfectly. For it is a prophetic blessing. To get into some of these things a minute, the imagery of the field and of the Lord giving the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and grain and wine, that's essentially a blessing for the Lord to prosper you in every endeavor. And the rest of the blessing can be summarized as kingship. And isn't that true of Christ? That everything that he was sent to do by the Father, he did perfectly. Did he not teach us perfectly all things that are necessary for our salvation as our chief prophet? Did he not make perfect atonement for our sin by his once for all sacrifice on the cross, and continues to be our perfect intercessor for us as our only high priest? Did not and does not Christ rule over all things as our eternal King? Look at the specifics of this blessing and see that they find their full fulfillment in Christ. Is not Christ King over all creation and indeed over all peoples? Will there not be a day when every knee shall bow and tongue confess Jesus Christ as Lord? Is not Christ our King, ruling and reigning over us, his brothers and sisters? And is not everyone who curses Christ cursed, and everyone who blesses Christ blessed? And because Christ fulfills this prophetic blessing and showcases the reality of this blessing, since we are united to him by faith, this blessing is for us as well. That the Lord will bless us in this life as we serve his kingdom. And we can never be defeated ultimately. We may be imprisoned. We may even be killed in this life. But the devil and the world and even our own sin cannot and will not have victory over us. For we in Christ have overcome. For there will come a day when we will sit with Christ in victory over all of his and our enemies. So while in this passage we clearly see sin, we also see clearly Christ's promise to us, and that he would fulfill this blessing so that we would be blessed. For as we see so clearly left to ourselves, we are in this inescapable downward spin of sin. But in Christ, we are pulled up and pulled out, and we are saved. and we are blessed indeed. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture in which we see so clearly how destructive our sin is, how horrendous it is in your sight. And we pray, Lord, that you would forgive us of all of our sins and wash us clean in the blood of Christ. Forgive us of every time we have sought to go our own way rather than follow you. Forgive us, Lord, every time we have sought to be deceitful and to be sneaky and manipulative. Forgive us, Lord, of every time that we have hated in our hearts and of every time we have lied. Heavenly Father, forgive us for the sake of Christ. Wash us clean in His blood. And help us to see Him more clearly, and that He is truly our only hope. He is the only way that we may escape the downward spin of sin. Help us to see and know Him as our lifeline to life itself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.